both good and kind enough to turn with me to Mark chapter 15. We're going to go from Mark chapter 15, verse 46, and we'll read into Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. So we'll begin at Mark chapter 15. We'll read, or we'll begin reading at verse 46. We'll read through Mark chapter 16, 1 through 7. Actually, 1 through, 1 through 7. All right. As always, sisters, Phyllis Williams has been good and kind enough to put it up on the on our Zoom broadcast for you. Thank God for the work that she does, and certainly for all those who participate within our Zoom ministry. Without the work that they do, without the sacrifices they make, we would be unable to broadcast and even go on Facebook as we do. All right, you've had more than enough time to get there. So Mark chapter 15, I'll begin at verse 46. And it reads on this wise: Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. Beginning at Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had already been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he had told you." So for a few moments of the time that we have together, I want to talk to you from the theme, "He is alive." He is alive. Let us go to God in prayer. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for this opportunity to pray unto you. But not only just to pray unto you, but Lord, to celebrate this day, which is the day that, Father God, that we have set aside to celebrate the fact that you died, you were buried, and you rose again. And thusly, we call it Resurrection Day, for you fulfilled that which the scripture stated, that you would get up on the third day. And so for that, we say thank you. Thank you, Father God, that you sent your son, Jesus, to die upon the cross for our sins, and that to rise again so that he would be the first or the firstborn among all those who would die and then rise again unto eternal life. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Father God, for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we all will rejoice and be glad therein. Certainly my prayer is that those who are listening will be blessed by the word, that they are, if they are saved, they will be encouraged, that if they do not know you in the pardon of their sin, Lord, that they might say, "What must I do to be saved?" And certainly, Father God, my personal prayer is that you would decrease me and that you would increase your Holy Spirit, that the words that I would speak would not be of myself, but Lord, they would be of you, and that they would go forth with clarity and with power. Hide me behind the cross. Let the think with my mind and speak with my mouth. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, these and all other things we ask and pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen Amen and amen. Here it is, another Sunday, another Resurrection Sunday that God has seen fit to allow us to see. I thank him for his son, Jesus Christ. But even before we get to that point, which is the most important point, which is the reason why we celebrate today. Yes, for the Christian, Resurrection Sunday is far more important than the Super Bowl, far more important than the Final Four, far more important than any hockey game or any other game that might be played on a Sunday. For on this particular Sunday, we have set aside this day and this time to celebrate the fact that Jesus died for our sins and rose again so that we might have that eternal hope that upon our death, that we will be allowed to rise again and sit next to him in heavenly places. To kind of help us with my sermon this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about American history. Certainly, I could talk about 9/11. Y'all remember 9/11, where the planes flew into the buildings and killed a great many people. That was in 2001. But I want to talk about another date in September, particularly September 15th, 1964. And on that date, there was a bomb that went off in a church at the 16th Street Baptist Church. And in that, when that bomb went off, there were four little girls who were killed. And of those four little girls who were killed, there was a young girl by the name of Addie Mae Collins. And so at Addie Mae's funeral, and there were two other little girls that were, the services were provided for on that particular day, there was some 3,000 people that stood out in front of the church as they had funeral services for three of the four little girls. And on that day, matter of fact, there's a writer by the name of Jamar Tisby who wrote the book called The Color of Compromise. He has that picture on the cover of his book. There were a great many people who were present at that time. And so after the services were held, the bodies were then interred in a cemetery. I'm quite sure a great many of those people went to the cemetery. And so after many years and many of the family members going to that cemetery to remember what happened to Addie Mae Collins, the cemetery fell into disrepair. And because the family was not happy with the way that the cemetery was looking, they were going to have Addie Mae Collins' remains dug up and placed in another cemetery. So they went and they went to where they thought that her remains were. They dug up the grave and found out that there was no casket there. Can you imagine the hurt, the pain, the sorrow that that family went through when they thought that their loved one was in some one place and their loved one was no longer there? Well, then you might have an idea in terms of what it was that Mary Magdalene and some of the other women went through when they went to the tomb of Jesus Christ. Because there they had, we know, because Joseph of Arimathea had asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Joseph then wrapped that body and placed that body in a tomb that he had bought for himself. So if you haven't given up on me, if you haven't tuned me out, let me give you my sentence sermon. And once I give you my sentence sermon, if you miss the rest of my sermon, you'll know exactly what it is that I've talked about. And my sentence sermon is simply this: Jesus is alive. He has risen from the grave, and he will meet you where you are. Jesus is alive. He has risen from the grave, and he will meet you where you are. Here in the portion of the scripture that I have pulled from you today. Normally, I would probably kind of be in John, but I was aware of the fact that the Bible study lesson would cover John chapter 20. So I was cognizant of that fact, so I decided I'd come from Mark. And the reason why I decided to come from Mark, because Mark really does hit the mark when he talks about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so what he does say about the burial of Jesus Christ is this, is that there were three women who witnessed the burial of Jesus Christ. It was Mary Magdalene, who was present. Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. And so they were there when Joseph of Arimathea took the body down from off the cross, where he then wrapped him in a linen cloth. He took the body of Jesus and he placed the body of Jesus in a tomb that he had bought for himself. Then the Bible says that he rolled a stone in front of it. Now we know that later on, the Pharisees will go to Pilate. They will ask Pilate to post a guard. They will ask Pilate to place a seal on the tomb. And that if anyone were to come by and attempt to take the body out of that tomb, they would have to deal with those guards, who would have no problem killing whoever tried to prevent them from doing their duty. And certainly to break the seal of the governor would certainly be cause for your death. But yet and still, we don't learn that through Mark. We learn that through many of the other gospel writers. But yet and still, someone is asking, well, what does that got to do with my life? Well, it has a lot to do with your life. Because if you've lived any amount of time, you'll know that some people will have kicked you to the curb. Maybe you might be working a job and you may not feel as if you're working it to the best of your ability. Or maybe there are people on your job who have led you to believe that you are the weakest link, that you'll never be promoted, that you'll never go beyond where you are. And so they have put you away. They have kept you aside. They have put you in a tomb and they have rolled a stone in front of it for you never to come out of it. They have put you in a box and said that you're not to come out of that box. Maybe you're feeling that way, but every so often, for everyone that's been put away, there's always someone that Jesus will send in your life to come and check on you. And so such is the case with these women. They knew where Jesus was, but when they get there, they find that he wasn't where they left him. He wasn't where they left him. And so if you're taking notes and you think that this is my first point, he wasn't where we left him. And so as they're making their way to the tomb, they know where his body should be because they were there when his body was placed in the tomb. They knew that it would be very difficult for someone to get him out of that tomb because there was a large stone rolled against the entrance of that tomb. Matter of fact, the stone was of such a weight and of such a size that the women themselves asked amongst themselves, who can we get to roll the stone away from the tomb? And so as they are having this conversation, we know that the nature of the conversation was such that they did not go to witness a resurrection, but they went to get completeness on grieving. They came bearing those things that a body would need or what would be traditionally placed on a body that had been recently died. And so they came with the spices, they came with the wrappings so that they could do right by the body of Jesus Christ. So imagine that they're not too much different from Addie Mae Collins's family when they went to inter or went to bring that body up, exhume that body from out the ground, only to discover that that body was no longer in the ground. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jones, they get there and he's not where they left him. So now they're perplexed. Now they are wondering, where is Jesus? Well, there was an expectation that Jesus was in the grave where they left him because they were the last to see him. And they were the first to the grave, but then they were greeted by an angel. Verse 4 says they were looking up and they saw that the stone had been rolled away. And notice what it says about the stone, that the stone was very large. And they entered the tomb. And upon entering the tomb, they saw a young man. He was sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. Now, the initial observations that they make are important. You see, because they notice, they say that the stone was very large and it was heavy. It wasn't meant to be moved. And the simple fact of the matter is that it's not often that we move dead things. Usually once a body is placed in the cemetery, once a body is usually placed in a mausoleum, once a body has been interred or placed in a wall, usually that body, those remains will stay where it has been placed. Oftentimes that's the reason why we find when people will go to a mortuary, go to the cemetery to see where the loved one has been laid, they know exactly where to go because that body has not been moved. And so such is the case here. They go to the cemetery expecting Jesus's body to be where they left it. But when they get there, the stone, which had been guarded by armed men with orders to kill, they're no longer there. Well, we know that because of one of the gospel writers, that the earth shook and they saw the angel, and these men became frozen as though they were dead men. The stone was rolled away, and all that was left there was the angel who had rolled the stone away. So now imagine their surprise when they get to the tomb and the stone is rolled away. Imagine their disbelief when they find that someone or somebody defiled the seal that was on the stone, that somehow overcame the soldiers to roll the stone away. There was an expectation that Jesus was in the grave where they left him. They were, however, greeted by an angel who told them, "You will find him." We know this because of verse 6, and verse 6 says this. He said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where he was laid. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you to Galilee. And there you will see him just as he told you." There is a mysterious angel in all dressed in white. And he tells them not to be afraid. Matter of fact, some of the other gospel writers say that when the women see this angel, they fall to their feet. And what the angel begins to do is he begins to speak hope to their fear. He tells them about whom they are looking for. You seek Jesus of Nazareth. He also tells them what happened to Jesus, that he was crucified. The angel is at the right place at the right time to speak the right words to the right people. Because you see, it wasn't Peter, James, or John that went early to the grave. It was these women. It wasn't any of the other disciples. It was these women. It wasn't Nicodemus, and it wasn't Joseph of Arimathea who went back to see if Jesus was still in the grave that early in the morning. It was these women. And these women didn't go because they had remembered that Jesus said that he would rise again in 3 days' time. They went because they were going to do what they felt was the right thing. And so that's all I'm saying to you this morning, is that do that which is the right thing. Well, what is the right thing? In this particular case, Jesus tells them, you will find me where I said you will find me. Some of you are watching me right here, right now on Facebook and on our Zoom. And it is not by accident that you're watching me right here, right now. God made it so that for whatever reason, you have the opportunity and are having the opportunity to hear the gospel message, that no matter where you are, no matter who has kicked you to the curb, no matter what has gone on in your life, no matter how raggedy you have lived your life, Jesus says he loves you. And because he loves you, he has died for you. And because he's died for you, he would not leave you in the grave, but he got out of the grave so that you might not stay in that grave, but get out as well. For he says that he is, not only is he alive, but he is the God of the living and not the dead. And so when you believe in your heart, when you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be alive, because he has already paid the price for you. He has already done that which you could not do for yourself. He has paid the price, a price that you could not pay. And because he's already paid the price, because he's already made a way, he only asks that you believe that he did what he said that he has done. There's nothing more to it, that you simply believe in your heart and that you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on Calvary, taking upon himself all of our sins, that he was placed in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, that he was only there for 3 days' time. And then on the third day, he got up out of the tomb. And the Bible says that with all power in his hands. He says, and he lets us know, that no man can come unto the Father except through him. He lets them know, you will see him again, just as he told you, because he is alive and because he lives. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone. The word of God has gone forward and is doing those things that God has purposed them to do. Some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of him. Say this prayer with me if you would. Father God, I am a sinner and I need to be saved. Holy Spirit, come into my heart and make me the kind of Christian that you would have me to be. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer with me, it was your very first time ever saying that prayer and believed it in your heart, the Bible says that you're saved. There's nothing more than you must do. You've confessed, you believe it, and now you've received the Holy Spirit. And in addition to receiving the Holy Spirit, the promise that God makes to you is that you will receive eternal life. You'll be with him through ceaseless ages. However, while the angels in heaven might be rejoicing, I'm not an angel, I'm not in heaven, and I don't know what it is that you've done. So I would simply ask, please, ma'am, please, sir, if you be both good and kind enough, that you would reach out to us either via my, either through the website, nbcfc.org, or through my blog, preachermanstan.com. And just let us know of the most important decision that you will ever have made in this life. Earlier, If you missed it, one of our deacons told us that back in 1952, he was baptized on an Easter morning. Thank God for that testimony, because with that testimony and through that man's life, we know that God is able to keep you well into your 90s. And so with that being said, please, ma'am, please, sir, be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Reach out to us. Let us know about what it is that you've done. Let me pray for you, and I'll send you on your way. Father God, I thank you and I praise you for all those who are under the sound of my voice. I ask and pray, Father God, that you would move on their hearts. Those who are saved, Lord, give them encouragement. Let them know that you still sit on the throne, that your promises are yea and nay. We thank you that you're not a man that you go back on your word, but you are God and that you do all things well. And you have promised us that you would bless us with salvation and that we would be with you through ceaseless ages. I thank you for your graciousness. I thank you for your kindness. I thank you for your everlasting mercy. I pray, Father God, that you move on the hearts of those who do not know you in the pardon of their sin. Let them know that there is a heaven to gain, that there is a hell to shun. Now, these and all other things we ask and pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, and amen.